I'm Lillian Vasquez, and this is Inland Edition. The coronavirus pandemic has not only affected the health of individuals who have contracted COVID-19, but almost everything else having to do with living normal lives on our planet. And that includes the economy. Now that vaccines are getting into the arms of people, and even though there are questions about the equity of the distribution, there seems to finally be a light at the end of the tunnel. So today on Inland Edition, we're looking once again at local employment numbers and the Inland Empire economy. My guest is Dr. Manfred Kyle. He is the chief economist for IEEP, which is the Inland Empire Economic Partnership. He's also a professor of economics at Claremont McKenna College, Robert Day School of Economics and Finance. Welcome back to Inland Edition.
Thank you for having me. Hopefully this time
we have good news.
In a better mood, better mood than we were last time.
Yes. As an economist, you are asked and judged on your knowledge and predictions. We're going to talk about some of your comments that you shared in the past. We spoke last July. You made some projections. I'd like to talk about some of them and then learn of your newest projections looking forward. What do new numbers look like now for unemployment here in the Inland Empire?
So we were, in last July, sort of coming out of the worst part of the unemployment increases. So let me reach back just a little bit more and tell you how we got to the July numbers at the time. In February, which is the last month before the recession started, the unemployment rate in the Inland Empire was a stunning 3.9%. I mean, we have not been there since they recorded unemployment rates for metropolitan statistical areas, which San Bernardino County and Riverside County together are called the Inland Empire. And that number, 3.9%, was just 0.4 percentage points above the national level, and that can be explained simply by our socioeconomic composition. But it is very close to it. And then in March, the number increased to 4.6%. And that was sort of misleading because the survey on which this is based on, it takes place on the 12th of every month. And if you remember, and I certainly remember, the shutdown happened really around the 19th and 20th. That's when Governor Newsom came on and said, you know, you have to stay at home, basically. And then it became really visible how bad the situation was in April when the unemployment rate went to, get this, 15.2%. Mm. And by the time you and I talked, which was July,
yes,
the unemployment rate had only come down to 12.9%. I mean, these are still levels that are, you know, out of this world because it masks regional variation. So let's say in the city of Coachella at that time, the unemployment rate was 28% in Riverside County, right? And since then, the unemployment rate has come down, but not as fast as we had hoped for. So the latest reading, which we have for the Inland Empire, is for January of 2021. We'll get more numbers at the end of this month. And the latest reading was 8.6%. So we've come down from 12.9% at that time in July to 8.6%. But this is still quite a ways above the national level, which is only 6.2%, right? However, here's the good news.
Okay.
We are actually doing better than the state of California as a whole is doing.
Oh.
And I attribute that to the role that logistics plays with us. That's the big picture. So we went on a roller coaster ride. We went up, maxed out at 15.2%. We're back down to 8.6%, but we still have ways to go.
Right. Now, in the past, we've talked about, and you introduced this to me, there's a V-shaped recovery and a U-shaped recovery. When we spoke last time, you mentioned if the pandemic was under control by May, which it wasn't, at that point, things would be looking more promising. So how are things looking now based on the V-shape and the U-shape? And we just talked about unemployment, but overall, our economy.
Yeah. So we have to probably separate out what output is doing and what employment is doing. output, I have to admit, bounced back faster than we thought. We're still below the level that we were at a year ago, and even further below if you would have assumed that output would have grown at its natural sort of pace, right? But basically, we can make that up either this quarter or next quarter. So that's the good news. Output does look not quite like a V-shape, but maybe like a Nike swoosh. So, I mean, we're coming back to levels we had before the pandemic. Employment is a whole different picture, and I want to introduce a new letter. That new letter for the shape of the recovery is a K.
Oh.
Why a K? And the K is because of employment really is different for high-wage earners versus low-wage earners. So high-wage earners have completely recovered the employment that they lost by April. So they're back. Middle-wage earners, same thing. They are close to where they were in February. It is the low-wage earners that really have seen their employment and their wages decline significantly, right? So it is sort of a, if you wish, a scissor that you can think of, a scissor between what output is doing and high-wage earners are doing versus low-wage earners. And that, of course, is a function of who works in sectors that are still shut down. And the low-wage earners tend to work in sectors such as leisure and hospitality, which still has not seen much of a recovery.
Let me reintroduce our guest is Dr. Manfred Keil. He's the chief economist for IEEP, which is Inland Empire Economic Partnership. And they have their State of the Region. This is where you'll be talking about, along with others, emerging from the pandemic that's scheduled for Thursday, March 25th. So thank you for being a part of the show and kind of giving us a heads up on this, which I'm sure you'll be talking about in general for that. One of the things that we've talked about in the past that you had mentioned was the Coachella Music Festival. And let's just say that every concert, every theater, every music festival, everything was canceled, and which had a huge effect on our economy. We felt this personally here at KVCR because we had some events that were fundraisers that we couldn't do. We had an Andre Rieu concert, who's the maestro violinist, and we had to give back $25,000 of ticket money, pledge money. So it affected us tremendously. That's just one of the concerts. There were three concerts that we had to do this with. Where are we looking now? And as you were just describing, that sometimes that low end is working in that leisure and entertainment industry. Where are we going now?
So I said before, if you want to, in one sentence, sort of explain to someone what this recession was about, then you will say it really was a recession about sectors that require face-to-face interaction, right? And of course, the biggest sector with face-to-face interaction is leisure and hospitality. And so in the United States as a whole, we lost 8 million jobs in leisure and hospitality, and we have only recovered so far roughly half. We're still 23% below the employment level that we were last February in that industry. So what is leisure and hospitality? Leisure and hospitality is obviously restaurants, hotel, amusement parks, that sort of thing, right? Which is what we know at the moment. The shutdowns still are there, although, as you know, as of last Sunday, indoor dining has opened at a reduced capacity. And so has this idea that amusement parks will open at the beginning of April, again, at a reduced capacity. What are the other sectors? Very quickly, the other sectors are other services. That's hair salons and manicure, pedicure, and gyms. And they are coming back faster. But that sector is not that important in terms of overall employment. The other one is retail. And retail has basically recovered. We're very little below what we were in February. And then the other one that was sort of a surprise to many of us was education and health services. Health services was down, to our surprise, in a health crisis. It was down because we didn't go anymore for dental checkups. We didn't go anymore for routine hospital visits and so forth.
Right.
And then the final sector was professional and business services. All of these sectors with the exception of leisure and hospitality, really have recovered. So if you want to know where we have to go from here, if we would find jobs for everyone who was working in leisure and hospitality magically tomorrow, then the unemployment rate in the U.S. would be down by 2-4%. Basically, we would have recovered. So the focus from here on really has to be on one sector, and that sector is leisure and hospitality. As you said, Coachella Festival, $750 million impact for 2 years gone,
wow.
Right?
Yeah.
I had hoped that perhaps you would see a Coachella Festival with a reduced crowd, but that was not going to happen at this point.
Well, things are opening up more. I want to talk about sports for a little bit. You had suggested that golf would be a sport that could be played, and in fact, you were spot on. That did happen. And now we're upon the baseball season just about to open up, and it's looking okay. I did check this morning with one of the local single-A divisions, which is the Quakes, the 66ers here in our region, and they're anticipating opening up with a modified plan. So we are getting a little bit back into the sports of today.
Yes. So as you know, we have a color scheme for opening up the economy.
Right.
So the worst color you can be in is the purple tier, which we were in for a long time, both in San Bernardino County and even more so recently in Riverside County. What has happened now is that we have moved in San Bernardino County into the red tier.
Yes.
And this week in Riverside County, we will do the same thing. So both San Bernardino County and Riverside County will be in the red. And when you're in the red zone, it allows basically a limited capacity for sports events. So the talk at the moment is 10%. Now, what does 10% do in a stadium?
Yeah,
it beats people who look like card boxes, right? It beats, as far as I'm concerned, canned cheers and things like that. But it's still only 10%.
Right.
Mind you, if we move into orange, then that increases to 25% and so forth and so forth. And what is remarkable at the moment is how fast the numbers of new infections have come down. It is just stunning, right? And it is much more so than many of us had anticipated. I've had my two shots. I assume you've had two shots maybe as well?
I have, thank you.
Yeah. And so we know that as of last week in Los Angeles County, 21% of people between the age of 16 and 64 have had at least one shot. So maybe add to that a conservative estimate of how many people were infected with the virus, and that would be 20%. Could have been as high as 50%. We could be approaching 40, 50, 60% in terms of people who are immune, and that would be herd immunity, right? So what we worry at the moment is that some new form of the virus, maybe the variant from the United Kingdom, will spread much faster. But as long as we keep on vaccinating people, that should counter that. So my hope is that, different from what we see, for example, in Italy, where as of yesterday, they went into a complete lockdown again.
Yes.
We won't see that. But Italy then again had problems with the vaccination.
Because of the type of vaccine that they were using, the company that they're using, that version?
No, not the AstraZeneca problem, but simply the distribution.
Oh.
So we have done fairly well, despite the fact that there were some shortcomings. The fact that we were able to vaccinate this fast is quite remarkable. Again, for Los Angeles County to have 21% of 16 to 64-year-olds having received the vaccine, that's remarkable.
Let's talk about the vaccines and the progress. You were just talking a little bit about it. When we spoke last time, you had projected that by early 2021, you were hoping, you kind of hoping for the fall, but you thought that early 2021 would be what it was, and that was right on. The role of the vaccine definitely has played a part on our economy, I'm guessing.
Well, again, it is not clear to me at the moment why the numbers came down so fast in terms of new infections, right? I mean, you remember just in December and January, we were at levels that were unheard of, really sky high. And the fact that we came down that fast, I would like to attribute to the vaccine, but I think it also has to do simply with the fact that there were many more people infected than we thought, right? And so, therefore, the virus could not spread as fast anymore as it did before. So I think it's the combination of increased vaccination plus approaching herd immunity that really gives me hope for the near future.
My guest is Dr. Manfred Keil, Chief Economist for Inland Empire Economic Partnership, or IEEP. Let's take a break. When we come back, we'll talk more about opening up the economy and whether people are ready to participate in some of the things that will help the economy recover. I'm Lillian Vasquez, and this is Inland Edition. Stay with us. You're listening to Inland Edition. I'm Lillian Vasquez. My guest is Dr. Manfred Keil, Chief Economist for IEEP. He's also an Associate Professor of Economics at the Robert Day School of Economics and Finance at Claremont McKenna College. Before the break, we were talking about how vaccines have brought us to where we are now with opening the economy. When I talk about the economy opening up, I'm thinking that, you know, with people feeling more safe, more vaccines out there, they might start flying again. They might start going up to places. You're talking about businesses opening up. And the first time businesses opened up, people were ready to go. They were shopping. They were eating out. And then we closed down again. And I wonder, as we are opening up again, will people have the money to spend to get the economy going?
So there is a lot of pent-up demand. The question is, will people spend it? Let me say there are four major components to the stimulus package. And the stimulus package is huge. If you do not just compare the $1.9 trillion that currently goes out, but the money that already went in December and last April, we are getting to an amount, we cannot even imagine these sums, of roughly 30% of U.S. GDP. I mean, we are just spending or at least distributing money like crazy. So if you think about the four major components of the stimulus package, and the four major components are the $1,400 payments to people with incomes basically under $80,000, the $300 additional unemployment insurance, the payroll protection program, and the fourth part is payments to states and to counties and municipalities. Those together have been analyzed by the Congressional Budget Office, and perhaps this might surprise you, the one that was found to be most effective in terms of employment was, if we look at past events, was the amount that goes to the state and municipalities and so forth. The state of California is actually running a budget surplus, and that has more tax income than it was projected previously.
Wow.
And I think that's simply a function of what I mentioned before, the K-shaped recovery, meaning that high-income earners, and that's what California relies on primarily for tax income, they have done fairly well. The stock market has done well, and so tax income for the state is high. So the state doesn't have any problem. The problem comes with counties and municipalities, which really have seen their tax receipts fall. And there, it will be so important that this money will be distributed efficiently, and municipalities will know better than anyone else how to spend it. It's not just some flat across-the-board spending for the state of California. It really is going to the municipalities, and they will know best how to go with it. The least effective of these four, I'm afraid to say, is the $1,400. My children will not forgive me because both of them will receive a check. The problem there is that it is across the board, and it doesn't really work with people who are mostly in need. So we know when a similar check was distributed in April that many many people just use that money to either pay down credit card debt or to save it. The hope here is that this time they will spend more. The second most effective after the state and municipality payments was the unemployment insurance one. So we know from credit card data that people who were unemployed did spend that money on paying rent and on buying groceries, not necessarily to buy retail goods from the internet.
Right.
So those are the four components. The money will be there. You are absolutely right. The question is, will people spend? And I strongly believe that as long as people will start to feel safe, there is so much pent-up demand, they will want to spend.
So I have two questions based on your answer that you just provided. One, the amount of money that was spent on the internet. Amazon took off. That man is so much more richer than he was before the pandemic started. And the other thing is, this $1,400 that is going out, the amount of money the government has just put forward, is that going to hurt us down the road? Is that going to backfire on us later?
Yeah, so that's the interesting question at the moment. Let me try the following analogy. Think that you went whitewater rafting and that you were approaching a level 4 rapid, and you fall out of the boat at the top of the level 4 rapid. By the way, I'm talking about myself. That happened to me once.
Okay.
And now you're going down the level 4 rapid, and, you know, the number of times that you actually see the sky is very limited. Most of the times you're underwater,
right,
and you're thinking about dying. That is the situation that the economy was in April and in May. We're now getting to the bottom of the rapid. We're coming sort of heads above the water more often. And we are about to be safe, to be hauled back into the boat. And the question you asked me is, should we worry at this point what happens down the river when things will get rocky again? So what I'm trying to say is, yes, there is a concern. Something might happen down the road where we have to be prepared for, such as increased inflation.
Right.
What are we going to do with all the debt payments and things like that?
Yeah.
But at this point, we're just happy to be back in the boat. You know, we're still gasping for air. And again, I've been there, I've done it, and that's why I did this analogy. So at the moment, it is just so much of a concern that we get back into the boat and be safe, that everything that happens down the road will say, okay, that may happen, we'll deal with it later. That's the situation at the moment.
Got it. Lastly, before I let you go, schools are opening up again. Colleges and universities are preparing for the fall term. How is it looking on your campus moving forward for teachers and professors and in general for universities in school to get back to open doors?
It's interesting. There are so many side effects of that we haven't even considered. I'll give you a small side effect that, you know, very few people have thought about. For example, we will not be able to house all the students that we did before. So what are they going to do? Well, they're going to rent. So rents go up. Mm. Space in multi-unit housing will be more scarce and so forth, right? So we haven't even thought about implications like that. But the bottom line is, I think universities and schools in general are all about learning something together. I mean, that is very essential. So as far as I'm concerned, getting students back on campus is more important for the students even than it is for us who teach. When it comes to high school and elementary school, there is a whole different element. I have coined this recession a she session, not because necessarily more females are unemployed than males. It's sort of even. But more females have become unemployed compared to other recessions. And that is, of course, because of leisure and hospitality being, in many ways, a sector that a lot of females are working in. Here comes the bigger picture. The unemployment rate currently would be higher except for the extraordinarily large number of people who became discouraged workers, dropped out of the labor force. And there, you see more females dropping out of the labor force than males, because unfortunately, we are back to times that we thought we didn't have to see again, where women had to take more care of children than otherwise.
Right.
And despite of all of our good intentions, the fact is, I believe it is women who took care of homeschooling, of helping children at home with the computers and so forth. It's a shame, but I think that is what happened. That's why that many females dropped out of the labor force. So that's why it's important, again, that schools will open and that children will be there for 5 days a week.
Yeah, we're looking forward to it. My guest has been Manfred Kyle. He is the chief economist for IEEP, Inland Empire Economic Partnership. They have their State of the Region coming up. It's emerging from the pandemic. It's on March 25th. Manfred, thank you so much for your time. It's always great speaking with you.
Thanks for having me, and thanks for the great questions.
Dr. Kyle is also an associate professor of economics at the Robert Day School of Economics and Finance at Claremont McKenna College. For more information or to sign up for the IEEP 2021 State of the Region event, visit their website at IEEP.com. That's IEEP.com. We'll put a link to IEEP's website on today's Inland Edition episode on our website as well. Please join us again next week for another episode of Inland Edition. That's Wednesdays at 2 p.m. and 6:30, right here on 91.9 KVCR. To hear this episode and past shows, visit our website at kvcrnews.org/Inland Edition. You can also listen to Inland Edition on iTunes, Spotify, Apple, and Google Podcasts, or search for Inland Edition on your streaming service. Inland Edition is a production of KVCR News. Support for this production, including writing and editing, comes from Sharina Wad, Rick Duloc, and David Fleming. And we get technical website and social media support from Tim Steidel, Sean Houlihan, and Andrew Caravella. I'm your host, Lillian Vasquez. Thanks for listening, and bye for now.